Hello, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. My name is Renee Spears, and I'm excited today to talk to Lynn Delmastro Thompson, who is a body talk practitioner and also host of the Unleash Your Healing Potential podcast. So I am really happy to have you here today, Lynn, because I think a lot of people don't even know what body talk is. So can you give us a little breakdown on what that is?
Yes, I'm happy to. Yes, that's mostly what I encounter is nobody has a clue what I do. So body talk is all about starting to uncover the story behind the symptoms. So I like to say our bodies don't have words to communicate with us. They only have the language of things like symptoms and pain and things like that. And so body talk is really about unpacking what the body is trying to tell us through that. It's really an energy medicine approach that kind of dives deep into the story. And as we understand the story and as we improve like communication and balance in the body, then the symptom magically goes away.
Yes. Yeah. So how did you get started in this?
So my path to body talk was kind of a long and winding one. And I was actually doing some other healing modalities first because I actually was misdiagnosed with leukemia when I was 24.
Oh my.
Went through quite a healing journey, as you can imagine, with that process of living with the wrong diagnosis for 3 years and then coming out of that and really getting curious about other approaches to healing because I started to see the flaws of Western medicine in being misdiagnosed and treated for the wrong thing. And so I started exploring things like acupuncture and therapeutic yoga. And I went back to something called biofeedback, which is really just using different sensors to measure what's happening physiologically in the body. So that was kind of where I started out with my business. I was teaching gentle yoga. I was doing biofeedback. And then about, how many years ago is it now? Maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, I woke up one morning and I had this horrible pain in my left knee. And I was like, this is really weird. You know, I didn't fall. I didn't bang into anything. It was just kind of like, what's up? My knee hurts all of a sudden. And I spent basically the course of 3 months trying to resolve it using all of the things I already knew. I was getting acupuncture. I was getting chiropractic work in case it was something structural. I was working with my mentor when I was studying yoga therapy. And I was like, this will not get better. It would get like a little bit better. And then it would just kind of fall back into the same place of pain. And one day I remember just waking up and I thought, you know, I met this woman, I think it was a year before, and she said she did something called body talk. And I was like, when she told me what it was, I thought, that sounds interesting. It sounded like something I would enjoy and be interested in. But I was like, you know, I already have like 7 or 8 things I'm doing for my health. Like, I don't really need one more thing. But it was kind of like, I describe it as my mental Rolodex flipped open to her. And I was like, okay, I'm desperate. It's been like 3 months of this. Let me try a session. And so I went in for the session and she had me on the table. She was using some muscle testing and she said, did something traumatic happen right before you had this pain? And I was like, oh yeah, it did. So what had happened right before that was my parents had been in Portland. My dad was going through basically a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And I had taken, you know, a couple weeks off to be with them. He was in and out of OHSU. We were trying to find solutions for what was going on. And then I did the business owner thing after that. You know, I had taken 2 weeks off and they went home and I was like, okay, I got to get back to work. And then the pain started because it was like my body was trying to say, hello, you just went through like something pretty traumatic. And now you're just like trying to just jump back into life. And, you know, so it kept holding that for me and holding me accountable, basically to, you need to do some healing work on what happened. And it was so fascinating because in that very first session, after she, you know, brought that up and we did a particular technique to help release the emotional charge and the trauma, I got off the table and after 3 months of pain, like the pain was gone.
Just like that.
Just like that. It was like, I was like, what sort of like voodoo just happened here? It was so amazing to me. It was so amazing how she could figure out, you know, what had happened, how my body could release that so quickly, you know, and I was like, this is so much faster. What I found over time is it's so much faster sometimes than therapy for certain things, because we can release it from the body instead of like processing it through the conscious mind that can take, you know, I mean, there were things I talked about in therapy for years. And then it's like, I have a session or two of body talk on it. And it's like, oh, that's not a thing anymore. It's gone.
Now, do you find that most people's aches and pains and medical issues are connected to emotional things and traumas? And, or is it just anatomy 101? So what do you find are most of the cases?
I think for most people, it is related to our emotions, unprocessed emotions, unprocessed traumas. Over the years, I've worked a lot with people with chronic illness. And one of the big things, especially like with autoimmune, is, you know, unresolved traumas in our past, including birth trauma, is actually one of the big things that's related to autoimmune, because when it happens in the first couple weeks of life, our immune system doesn't even know what's us and what's not us fully yet. So when I started to learn about that, and one of my teachers actually was speaking about that, I was like, oh, that's so fascinating that, you know, that early trauma of, you know, you had a difficult birth, maybe you had a C-section, whatever that was, can actually leave such an impact on our bodies.
That is fascinating. And we can, I understand things that happen when you're a child, or, you know, like what happened with your father, that you, there's a direct correlation, but it's so fascinating to me that something before you can even talk or walk or anything can happen that you're even unaware of that affects you.
Yeah. We even sometimes work with things that happen when you're in utero, because it's like, if your mom was stressed or there was a big, you know, big something that happened in your family life when you were still not born yet, but you were there, like you picked that up and you really got all of the different chemicals that your mother released, you know, when she was stressed and she had all of those emotions.
That's
so
wonderful.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Very fascinating. So for years, I've used Louise Hay's, you know, book, You Can Heal Your Life, that has all of the physical things that are in that. And many times if I had like, you know, a hurt elbow, or talking simple things, like a hurt elbow for the day or something, I'll look in the book and it'll say, whatever it is, repeat this mantra, you know, I believe in myself, or whatever it may be. And at the time I'm thinking, oh, that's not me. I'll do the mantra anyway. And lo and behold, sure enough, a day or two later, the things clear up. It's fascinating to me, the connection between our emotions and our inner life and our body.
Yes. Very, very fascinating. And, you know, a lot of the work in body talk comes also from like a consciousness perspective. So it's like, what's the job description of that area of the body, which is kind of, I think, what Louise Hay's
book is
based on, you know, and what is that reflecting, you know, like what does a heart issue have to do with? What's the consciousness of that area? What's the consciousness if you're having digestive problems, you know, if it's intestinal, what do the intestines do?
Yes. Yes. So tell me some of the ways that we can listen to our bodies for these signals that can help us decipher what's going on.
So one of the things I like to just teach people is to just, you know, take some time first to just, you know, get present, take some deep breaths. And then once you've kind of gotten centered and, you know, out of the emotion of, I need to fix this right now, I want it to go away, because pain usually happens and we're kind of irritated, or, you know, we want to like, let's fix it right now, to start to just ask the body questions, you know, and just say like, what is it that you need me to know? And, you know, the first few times you do this, if you've never done it before, you may just sit there and be like, I don't know. You know, you may not get an answer. So don't shoot yourself in the foot, you know, in the beginning and just be like, yeah, I never got an answer the first time, but just kind of ask that question. And usually, you know, our intuition speaks to us in different ways. So some people, you may just kind of have a knowing. Some people, like I tend to hear my intuition as words popping in my head, like it's like a voice that I hear. You know, some people see pictures. So, and then, you know, when you're doing that for the first time with asking your body, you may second guess it. It's like, oh no, it can't be that. you know, but usually it is the simple thing that pops in and just learning to sit with it and start to trust it instead of saying, you know, oh, no, it has to be something different. It has to be more complicated. I don't trust my intuition.
I think people say that with their intuition with everything, you know, exactly. Like, oh, it can't be that, you know.
Right. It's too obvious, or, you know, it just like popped right in my head so quickly, you know, and it's like, or it's so simple. It's like, yeah, but sometimes it is just simple. It doesn't have to be a big, long novel of a message. It could just be, you know, hey, you've been sitting at your desk way too long. You know, when's the next time you're actually going to get up and move around and exercise?
Oh, I like that. That's so great because, you know, we were talking about, oh my gosh, did this happen in utero, you know, to me. And it's just get up and stretch your body sometimes. We don't have to go to the extreme that something, you know, traumatic happened to me when I was 2, which may be the case, but.
Right. And that's usually what I say, you know, if you try that, this process on your own of just kind of asking your body and, you know, what is it trying to tell me? What does it need from me? And you're not really getting anywhere. That's when sometimes having someone else who can kind of hold that space and be kind of the neutral observer for you, because of course, you know, when we see ourselves through our filters and our, you know, mirrors that are distorted. And so sometimes it's like, we don't always get the perception or it's something really deep that it's like, you're not going to get to a memory in utero on your own.
Right. Totally.
Never would find a memory in utero on my, you know, on myself unless I'm using the tools that I have.
Right. Now this is completely different than what we hear with Western medicine.
Yes.
Yeah. And it feels like more and more Western medicine is failing us in some ways. Can you speak a little bit about that? That Western medicine really doesn't have all the answers we're looking for?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, one of the things that I always emphasize when I talk about Western medicine is, first of all, it's a diagnostic model. So, you know, it's always you go to the doctor and they're trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with you? What's the diagnosis? And a diagnosis, in my opinion, is just a label, and it can be wrong. As you could tell from my story, I lived with the wrong label and the wrong treatment for 3 years. And, you know, so then that shapes the whole course of what's happening in terms of their process. You know, it's usually based on medications and surgery are their two main tools in their arsenal. And there's so many more things out there really that can help us heal than just taking a pill or, you know, some things do require surgery. I'm not like one of those people that's like completely anti-Western medicine. You have a heart attack, please go to a hospital, you know, and have them help you because it's great for things like that, but it's not so great really for things that are more ongoing, more chronic. That have deeper roots, because it's really not, that's the other thing is with a diagnostic model, we're not really looking at like, why is this truly happening? Like on a deep level, you know, it's like, oh, well, okay, you have this particular condition. Well, why did you develop that condition? Bodies don't just do, you know, things like that without some sort of reason. You know, maybe it's you were exposed to a bunch of toxins and your body needs to detox things out. You know, maybe it's you've never processed any of your emotions and your body's like screaming out, like, stop stuffing everything. So, you know, if we don't get to the roots then and pull something up, again, it's like, I like the image of a big weed, you know, and if we just come along and we cut the weed off just at what we see above the surface, what's going to happen is the weed's just going to come back very quickly. But if we get in there and we find the roots of the weed as best we can and we dig it out, weed is gone. You know, it's not just going to pop right back up and like, hi, I'm still here.
Yeah, good point. Now, do you feel like COVID and this time that we're in right now is kind of maybe like a wake-up call for us to take better care of our health? And
I definitely see it that way. You know, I think we have become as a society in general so used to only addressing our health when something's wrong instead of, you know, looking at our health as something, it's a treasure that we should nurture every day. and, you know, not just wait until, oh, I'm sick, now I need help. You know, it's like, how can we better support our health and our well-being? How can we feed ourselves nutritious foods? How can we support our bodies with exercise? Like all the things that are pretty simple, but we often kind of write off as, oh yeah, I don't have time for that, or that's not really that important. You know, to me, I would much rather take care of my health in that way so that I don't get sick, or, you know, should I be exposed to this virus, then my body is healthy and resilient and able to handle it, rather than, you know, being so depleted that you fall into that category of getting really, really sick and, you know, potentially dying from something.
Yeah. And I think that stress is one of the big ones. I know for me, you know, when I had my company years ago and I stopped working, you know, I'm 56 now, and I probably felt 76 then with the amount of stress that there was. So when I stopped working and did more consulting like I did now, I cannot believe the change in my body. Nothing aches anymore. I have so much more energy. So just stress, if we could just get a hold of that, would make a dramatic change.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I was taking a class from one of my teachers over the weekend, and she was talking about what they call inflammaging, which is basically, you know, stress causing inflammation, causing accelerated aging, which, you know, and then you can reverse that, of course, when you, you know, like you said, I feel so much better now because I'm not in this high stress circumstance, and our bodies are resilient. You know, we can undo some of what we've done over time.
And what was it? Aging?
Inflammaging.
That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we don't want that to be a process going on for us. And yet, you know, when we live in chronic stress and we live in fight or flight, our nervous system is tipped into, you know, that imbalance. And we have lots of cortisol in our system all the time. Cortisol creates inflammation. You know, it's like our bodies are constantly ready for the battle that's not really happening, from like running away from a tiger that could eat us. You
right.
know, it's like sitting in traffic, or, you know, like work stress. That's not the same type of stress that response is really adaptive for.
So how do we, clearly all of us right now with COVID and the protests and the changes that are going on are under some type of stress. Can you give us some hints of ways that we can manage that a little bit?
Yeah. So actually, one of the things to understand is there's more than one stress response. So we all have heard of fight or flight, and they have now teased out over the past maybe 20 or so years of research that there's two alternate stress responses that we can go into. And probably there's even more, but those are kind of what they've figured out and labeled so far. And one of the ones that I like to tap into is called challenge mode. And challenge stress is all about, like it sounds, you know, overcoming a challenge. So if you can see this time as something that's a challenge, like maybe climbing a mountain or, you know, doing something that's not easy, but it's not going to kill us, right? Taking a long hike, unless you have some underlying condition, you know, that it's going to aggravate, it's not going to kill us. So if we think of this as kind of a hike, you know, we can start to think of, what resources do I have to address this particular challenge? You know, what can I do? What can I learn? And, you know, who can I reach out to for support? And one of the great questions just to get into that challenge mode is, you know, is this going to kill me now? You know, is this a stressor that's life-threatening, or is it just a difficult situation? And if we can acknowledge to ourselves, this is a difficult situation, but for most of us, you know, we're not currently sick with COVID, so we're not likely to die in the next 10 minutes, you know? So that's been a question even that sometimes I say to myself, I'm not going to die in the next 10 minutes. Like, this is a nervous system. We can start to calm down and re-regulate ourselves.
Yeah, boy, this is such good information to have now, because I think many people have been in that fight or flight
yes.
energy. And then, as we know, the more that you're there, the more damage that's doing to your
right.
body. Yeah.
And what they found researching this particular challenge mode is the body responds like you're exercising. So you have none of the negative stress impacts on your cardiovascular system, on your brain. It doesn't diminish your memory over time. It's just your blood vessels stay nice and relaxed, and they pump more, each heartbeat is stronger. It pumps more blood. So you get more like energy and more clarity. It's super cool when you kind of understand the difference between, you know, what can happen in your body in that mode versus if we're just pumping cortisol all the time and our blood vessels are all constricted, you know, because we've all heard, you know, stress is bad for your health. Stress can kill you. And that certainly can be true if we're stuck in that chronic high cortisol fight or flight state all the time.
Right. That is so fascinating. And because I've even noticed myself lately is having a plan to get through the next 6 months. You know, this isn't going to last forever. We'll make it through and, right, you know, we'll go back to normal. But in the meantime, how do I get through this next 6 months in a healthy way?
So exactly.
So I love this idea of the challenge. That's exactly. Great.
It's super nice to have that mindset shift. And then the other mode is actually all about connecting with others. So they call it tend and befriend. And it's all about coming together in community and supporting people and asking for help or offering help. And that is a different pathway that gets activated in our body with other hormones like oxytocin and serotonin. So again, it's like a different chemical cocktail that we get in these two modes that are so much more healthy for our bodies than just dumping cortisol and epinephrine and norepinephrine into our systems.
Well, how cool that we're finally at the stage where we can differentiate between different types of stress. Yes. And then figure out how to deal with them instead of grouping it all into that one. And this is what you need to do.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's fascinating because it's like the research over, you know, 80 plus years was just all done on men and it was done on animals like rats. And then finally, I think I just read this yesterday, I was reviewing for a talk I'm giving tomorrow, like in 1995, someone woke up and was like, oh, well, maybe we should look at how women respond to stress. Like,
oh, imagine that.
They had been writing it off before as saying, oh, it's too complicated because women have these monthly cycles. And so we can't look at their stress response because they have these hormone cycles. And I was like, what the heck?
You know? Oh my gosh. And that was like 1985. Isn't that crazy? 1995. Even crazier.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe we should look at like how half of the population responds to stress. And is it different, you know? And if you think of in a tribe, yeah, it would be different. You know, the men would be the ones that would do the fight or flight, go off and kill the threat. And women aren't going to do that because there's babies and children and other people that need help. You know, we're not all just going to go off and fight and kill things or, you know, run away.
Yeah, it's just incredibly fascinating. Stress just is one of those things that since the last couple of years when I've been really focusing on reducing, you know, my stress, that so I can't wait to read more about this. Cool.
Yes. And a great book for that, if you want to kind of check it out, is called The Upside of Stress by Dr. Kelly McGonigal. And it's written in a way that's very accessible. So it has a lot of research in it, but it's translated into a way that you don't feel like you're reading like research papers.
Yeah, exactly.
Which now, is always nice.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'd say maybe 10, 15 years ago, I had a few body talk sessions. And I remember at the time, you know, laying on the table and it felt like nothing was happening. You know, move my arm a little bit and, you know, and then it's like, oh, what is going on? And then you get up though, you feel so different. It's almost, I don't know, amazing. Yes. Can I use that? Can I go to that word? Amazing.
Yeah, I think it is. It is pretty amazing. And, you know, sometimes nothing feels like it's happening. And sometimes even you don't necessarily, depending on what you're working on, you may not get off the table. You may say, I hear people say, I feel really relaxed. But then it's like when we transition back into our lives and we're dealing with that circumstance that's maybe a stress trigger or, you know, whatever we're addressing, it's like, oh, yeah, something did shift, you know, but you couldn't put your finger on exactly what happened in the session.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on here? Well, you have generously offered $20 off a session with you using the coupon code Abundology on your website. And I'll make sure I put the link in the show notes for that. But yes. Then also, in addition, thank you so much. You've offered a free inner peace guided meditation.
Yes.
So we could all use a little bit of, you know, inner peace at this time.
For sure. Yeah. I love doing guided meditations, and there's a few on my podcast too. So if you're really into guided meditations, you can look for a couple episodes on there that feature some meditations, because I think it's a powerful way to just help ourselves relax right now. And our, who doesn't need a little bit of de-stressing and relaxation right now?
Exactly. We can all take all that we can get right now. So.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I've really enjoyed you having you on here, and I've learned so much about stress in the last 10 minutes. It's fascinating.
Yes. It's such a fascinating topic. And I hope that people start to realize, oh, it doesn't have to just be one thing. You know, we can choose. It's kind of a choose your own adventure with stress.
Choose your own adventure. That's great. All right. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.